Has the news got you down? Not with this funny guy. You're listening to Lighten Up with Steve Miller.
Shalom, shalom, everybody. Guess what day it is? It's Monday. Yes, it keeps coming back. And you know what that means? It's Lighten Up on Israel News Talk Radio. My name is Steve Miller, and today I have a special, special guest host. Please give it up for the lovely Miss Tamar Yona.
Yeah, I agree. Boo, boo, boo.
No boos.
You had to really slum and drudge the bottom of the whatever the tank to get me.
Nah, you always say that, but you're brilliant. And of course you wouldn't be in this position. You could just stay back as my producer. But of course, once again, my co-host, Roya Mosinian, has left me hanging. I can't seem to find the right host here. I don't know. If anyone would like to co-host with me, call into the show. You know the number.
Especially if you're funny, not like me.
Right. Oh, you're funny. Don't worry about it. Anyway, you know what? I forgot to put up our chat so we can see who's listening. Do you have a list of that or no?
We do.
Good. Purim is coming up, everybody. Yay! Happy Purim, Tamar.
Happy Purim to you.
All right. Before we get into Purim real quickly, because I do have a Purim story. Let's give it up, of course, for our lovely listeners, the United States of China, Canada, Israel, South Africa, Brazil, the United Kingdom, Sweden, and Panama. All right. We love Panama. Purim's coming up, everybody. And I don't know. I don't really dress up for Purim. Do you dress up, Tamar?
I do.
Oh, you do?
Absolutely. Purim's like my favorite holiday.
This will be my first Purim in Israel, in the Holy Land.
Well, you're going to love it.
Okay. I guess so. What are you dressing up as? Who are you going to be?
Well, I've been like from the 1920s, you know, like a, what do they call it, a flapper. Other times I've been like a cave woman, like a caveman cave woman.
Oh, okay.
And this year, I have two costumes. I haven't decided which I'm going to do. One, it could be like a wench from like the Middle Ages, or the other one is a hippie, because I've got these like colorful sunglasses and leather fringe vest and all that stuff.
Wow, a wench. So you are not a wench. I don't care what they say about you on Israel News Talk Radio.
Ask my husband.
A lovely person.
Yeah, ask my husband. You can ask him.
Do you guys go as a theme, like a theme costume?
We do not. But my daughter does, and she's had some great ones.
Oh, okay.
Really good ones,
you could be the wench, and your husband could be a mensch.
Ah, woo! Very funny.
Oh, God. That was terrible. Anyway, well, I bring it up because, of course, I found this article, and it says here, amid the war, Israeli students are advised to avoid panic-inducing Purim costumes. Have you heard about these costumes?
I have heard, a while ago, you're not supposed to dress up as a terrorist because kids were doing that at one time. Like, they were wearing the keffiyeh and holding a plastic machine gun, and you can't do that anymore. That's for years already. But now they're already saying not to. A lot of the kids, they get, like, firecrackers, and they make a lot of boom noises. So right. Those are banned for this year, basically. They're telling everybody not to use those because the army is still guarding different places, and they hear that, and it can really mess them up.
Yeah, you don't want to get a kid shot, babe.
And I wouldn't mind not having those fireworks either because I don't like them.
Oh, okay. Well, it says here the education ministry instructs schools and kindergartens not to allow students to arrive in costumes that could incite fear, panic, or harm to other students wearing offensive costumes. I never understood this. I mean, look, I get it. I didn't understand what Israeli, what Jew is going to dress up as a terrorist. But I guess, as you said, they've done that in years past. But I mean, it sounds like Israel is turning into America now because, during the American holiday of the pagan holiday of Halloween, all the liberals get, they get so bent out of shape when people dress up as offensive costumes, or they what's that word? They propagate or something, like if someone dresses up as like a Chinaman or something, they get all upset. You're propagating the Chinese people. I don't know. It's just, it's ridiculous, but I don't know. I'm dressing up as a Ole Hadash.
That's a new immigrant. You know,
that's right. That's a new immigrant. Oh, speaking of that, can I just tell the listeners? So I know I brought up this in the past. So I finish tomorrow. On Wednesday, I take my final exam in Olpan, and I'm done, baby. It's ending. Hello? Still there or no? No, I guess you went out. Well, I guess it's just me now. Now, Tamar, my producer, has left me alone.
Oh, yes. I was so interested in your story. Yes, go ahead.
Okay. So, yes, so it's my final exam. So we had our oral exam last week. And basically, I passed that, where they basically interviewed me. But I was like on the lowest level of class. And basically, they just asked me my name. And they're like, okay. You passed. I had to say my name in Hebrew, and that was it. Well, my name is Steven. And, you know, but my I'm like, you remember the movie Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
No.
You don't remember that movie? It's a classic movie. It was with Sean Penn. He played the character Jeff Spicoli. He was a stoner.
Not
in
familiar.
The movie.
No.
Anyway, I'm like the Jeff Spicoli of Olpan. Like, I just want to pass your class, man. Anyway, so, but I'm very nervous. Do you have any work? And we can't cheat. Our teacher's not even going to be there. We cheated on the midterm, but now the head of Olpan is going to be monitoring the exam. No phones, no notebooks. Can't use Google. I just have to, you know, actually know what I'm doing. And if they think you're cheating, it's just like in high school all over again. They'll come and take your exam and rip it up.
I don't understand. What is the consequence if you fail it? They send
there
you back
no
to America? Well, that's exactly, so what are you so nervous about? I don't understand this.
Oh, well, you know, I want to pass. Oh, I get a diploma. I don't know. There is no consequence. But, you know, I spent 50 shekels, babe. I want to pass the class. I've invested 6 or 5 months of my life here at in Israel, in Olpan, every day, 5 days a week, 5 hours a day for 5 months. So I just want to pass it and get on and move on with my life. Oh, guess who's tuning in? India. India's here. And anyway, so yeah. So wish me luck, everybody. And then after that, no more school. Then I have to find a job. So if anyone, I'd like to, I don't know what I'm going to do here in Israel. Any suggestions?
You can always wait tables. I'm just joking.
Oh, okay.
No, you can always work at call centers. There is work for people who are looking.
Hey, you know what I want to do? Because here in Israel, for people that don't know, they have absolutely zero customer service. There is no customer service here. Everyone is so rude, Israelis. So I figured maybe I can go into like customer service. And like, so when people call in or something, and they can actually speak to someone who cares about their problems, who wants to help them, who's nice.
They'll think they got another country.
What'd you say?
They'll think they called another country.
Anyway, here's India just came on listening. Hello, India. I have actually two articles here about India. Which one would you like to hear? First of all, one's about climate change, which is always fun. And the other one's about India abstains in UNGA on the PAC resolution on Islamophobia. Would you want to hear that one? That's really funny. Hello?
Not really.
Well,
no, do the other one first.
Gonna,
do the other
gonna,
one
okay,
first.
Okay, fine. So we'll go to the other one.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay, so here, India. Speaking of India, it says India's Bengaluru is fast running out of water, along with scorching summers still loom. So India, apparently India is now running out of water. It says here, Bahavani Mani Muthuvel. These names I can't even pronounce. And her family of nine, sounds like a Hasidic Jewish family, have around 20 liters of water, which is 5 gallons, of buckets worth of water for the week for cooking, cleaning, and house chores. And they use the bathroom with it. Mm. don't go over to dinner at their house, babe. It says from taking showers to using toilets and washing clothes, we are taking turns to do everything, she said. It's the only water they can afford. And it says here, apparently they are blaming human beings. We are blaming people who are changing the climate, and it's the reason why there's a drought in India. It's all because of the people. India is running out of water, everybody. And I hope that our listeners in India are not thirsty. We are very thirsty in India right now. Very, very thirsty.
So this reminds me of a book. If anybody likes to read historical novels, actually, this wasn't even a novel, but it was written like a novel. It reads like one. It's called Raquella, with a Q-U-E-L-A at the end, or a double L-A, okay. Raquella. And it's the story about a woman who lived in Israel, the land of Israel, before the statehood, and all of her experiences. She was a nurse, and how hard it was, and how Jerusalem was cut off in the War of Independence by the Arabs, and they couldn't get water, and they couldn't get food in, and so they had to be very sparing on their water. And they would first take the water, and if they had to take a shower, right? They would stand in a bucket, and then then they would take water and pour it over their head, and keep that water that fell into the bucket, and then use that water afterwards to wash their clothes. And they had to be very, very careful with their water use. It was very interesting. This is all true stuff. How people needed to live in those days. Which was not so, it was only 70 some years ago, I think. So, and fascinating story. If anybody likes that stuff, it's called Raquella. It's an old book.
Oh my God. You know, that sounds like the bucket challenge. You remember the bucket, ice bucket challenge?
Yeah, not the same.
Oh, it's not the same thing?
Not okay. The same.
No. Pour the ice bucket on my head. I support, I am against the disease of whatever. What was the disease they were doing it for? Oh, MS. MS? I don't know.
MS?
One of those diseases. Or ARS or ALS. ALS. It was the ALS bucket challenge. That sounds what it was. Well, apparently here, this is in southern India. And it says Bengaluru is in southern India. And it's been very hot in the February and March. And it says here that it has received little rainfall, in part due to human-caused climate change. I love how they still like pushing this. Like, how can humans stop rain from coming in India? I don't get it. But anyway, they have a 5-gallon bucket, and they're using it for everything. Showers, dishes, going to the bathroom. They're supporting ALS with bucket ice bucket challenges, you know, all with 5 gallons. It's pretty amazing. Anyway, okay. That's my story from India.
Ba-dum-bum.
Ba-dum-bum. Okay. We should move on. Here's something that I saw. Actually, I don't know if you saw this in the news. So last week, one of the idiots from America came over here. Maybe it was Joe Biden. I don't know. But apparently they were making fun of Joe Biden on the news. I think it was Channel 13 News. I don't know. I don't know what they were saying. I had to get my girlfriend, the Israeli, to interpret it. But basically what they were saying was that now the United States is building, is giving aid to our enemies. They're giving aid to Hamas, and they're dropping food in, and they're going to build a bridge somewhere in the Gaza port. I have no idea what they're talking about. But then, so they're giving our enemies aid, but then they're also giving the Israeli government, you know, more ammunition or whatever. They're supplying us with some arms so we can bomb them.
No restrictions. There's a lot of restrictions on that aid. There's a cost to everything.
Well, so the news was making fun of them, basically like, here the Israelis are. We're going to bomb the Gazans, but don't worry. We'll give you food that is coming from the Americans as the Americans pay for the Israelis to bomb you. But you'll survive the bombing because we're giving you food. I mean, this is how insane it is.
All the bombing would stop if they would just surrender and give us back our kidnapped.
That's right.
It would all be over.
It would all be over.
I know. That's not funny, but that's the truth.
Well, that's the truth. But anyway, so yeah, giving Israel to arms to fight Hamas and then giving them aid to survive the attack. That's funny. I'm sorry. Only Joe Biden. Anyway.
So you know what? Some people I've heard have been calling Biden O-Biden.
Yeah, of course.
Like for the continuation of Obama, he's O-Biden.
Yeah, that's right. Barack Obama's really running the show because, you know, I hate the Jews. Yeah, he is. I believe that. Here's a funny story. This actually is. I think this is the definition of ironic. I'm not sure, but here you'll like this. It says here, a Harvard professor of honesty. So this is a professor at Harvard who does research and writes papers on honesty, basically trying to research and find out why people are dishonest. This is what, so she says here, this is the title. It comes from the New York Post. Harvard professor of honesty tampered with data and should be fired. So basically, it says here, a celebrated Harvard honesty professor, that's now the new title, who researched why people cheat. They found out that she tampered with data in her work, and now they relieved her of her duties, and now she's suing them for causing her lack of income and all this stuff. Her name is Francesco Gino. And she's a behavioral scientist at Harvard Business School whose work focused on dishonesty and was found to have tweak observations in 4 studies that they're finding boosted their hypothesis. So she basically manipulated and was dishonest and manipulated data to prove why people are dishonest. So she wasn't even honest in proving why people are dishonest. And then she got caught and now she got fired.
And that's because honesty is for other people, not for her.
That's right. I just thought that was, is that the definition of ironic? Is it?
Okay, whatever. Ironic, whatever.
Is it? I don't know. Or irony, not ironic. Irony. Is that irony? I'm being serious. Yeah. I have no clue. Yeah. I'm in the level 1 class at Olpon. I have no idea. What is irony?
You're
going to
find out that you're going to forget your English and still not learn enough Hebrew, and then you're really going to be stuck.
Okay. So I thought that was an interesting story. I'm just going through here. We have so many fun stuff here. Oh, here's a story you're going to love. I love this. This is just a great story. You like animals, Tamar?
I do.
Oh, yes. Now, are you a big, do you like the ocean? You like whales?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, why not?
What'd you say?
Why not?
Okay, sure. Anyway. Here's a story. Now, I want you to calm down and don't worry about it. Just let me tell the story.
Okay,
tell it says
story.
Here, humpback whales were photographed having intimate relations for the first time. And as they were photographing these, the people who were in the ocean, it's very rare to find whales seeing this, you know, catching it on film. But it says here, the once-in-a-lifetime encounter took place as 2 photographers were out in the waters near Maui. And a marine biologist, is anyone a marine biologist? Soon noticed something unexpected about the photographs. It says here, the behavior of the humpbacks has fascinated scientists for decades. But a study published this week features the first photos of the species having intimacy with each other. And both of them were males. They were both guys. They were gay whales. Do you believe that?
No.
I'm telling you, it's right here.
Well, if you saw it on the internet, it has to be true.
That's true.
No, it could be true. I don't have the information. I have the data, but I hope it's not true.
It says here, the whole discovery was opportunistic. It says the whale slowly approached the photographer's boat while they were out in the waters west of Hawaii Islands. The photo shows a healthy, strong male was doing things who appear to an injured or unhealthy other male. So apparently the strong male, it said here in the article, just got out of prison and he was very excited. So he took a weaker whale and had his way with him. But anyway, they found that these 2 male whales were having you know what.
And who was this sponsored by? Like the what do you call it? The GLBTQ?
No. It was just this comes out of Sky News. These were just photographers. Oh. They happened to catch these whales, and they were taking photographs of them, and then they noticed that they were.
Well, thank you for that amazing story.
Well, you know, I tell you one thing: it gives a whole new meaning to the word blowhole. Hi-oh!
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, I didn't know there were gay whales, but apparently there are. So maybe that'll be the title of the show today. I went swimming in Hawaii and I found a gay whale. Anyway, so that's what's going on in Hawaii. So apparently whales can be gay. So I'm sure all the liberals will be very happy about that. There were, oh, you know what kind of whales they were too? You want to know?
I don't even want to guess.
Well, I'm going to tell you. This is really funny. This is really, this is the definition of
don't
irony.
Say humpback.
They were humpback whales.
Oh, I knew you were going to say that. I knew it.
No, they were. I'm serious. They were humpback whales. Oh, but you can't, that's this, you can't make this story up.
Nor would so, I want yeah. to. Okay.
No. Yeah. No, of course okay. not. You are proper and I am not. Oh, here's a great thing that I found. Now look, every year, 2 weeks ago, Roy and I did, do you remember I did the stories on the most like depressing countries in the world to visit?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, which is funny, I'm doing a follow-up story now, for the year 20, I guess, well, it came out in 2024, but it was last year, 2023, that, they're calling it the 10 happiest countries of 2024.
Oh, that's so good. That's a good story.
So would you like to, so I'll give you just a, they give a happy index. I don't know what it means. Basically, income, life expectancy,
yes,
social support, freedom, trust in institutions, generosity. I don't know. That's what they're saying. So here, there's in no particular order. Well, there is an order, but I'm not going to tell the order. But here's Finland. Finland is always on the list for the happiest country in the world. How can Finland not be on top? There's nothing but happiness in Santa's home country. So Finland is one of the happiest. So you're going to see a trend here. Finland, Denmark. Denmark was one of the happiest countries to be in. Iceland. Iceland was a very happy country to be in. First of all these countries are cold. I don't get why that relates to being happy. But they are. And guess what is the fourth happiest country to live in?
What?
What? Israel, baby!
Seriously?
Yes! Huh. Israel is on the number four wow. position in the prestigious list. The country has gone up from ninth to fourth in the top 10 since 2022, which is amazing, considering we're at war. And we've been at war since, what, the last 3,500 years? And since 1948, since Israel was recognized? Yeah, how about that?
Interesting.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Well, I've been here 6 months. I'm not that happy. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, boy.
I'm just kidding. The Netherlands were on that list. It says tap for next. Netherlands, Sweden, you know, Sweden? All these Nordic countries, mm-hmm. Norway. So apparently, other than Israel, if you want to be happy, you got to be cold.
Very cute.
Yeah, but you know what country was not on there?
What country was not on there?
America.
Oh.
That is not a happy country to be in, I tell you that much.
But
that's
I bet,
why I left.
I bet America was for many, many years. I would imagine it was because everybody wanted to go to America. Everybody loved America. Everybody loved Americans until they started hating Americans.
That's right. And now,
unfortunately,
because of Joe Biden.
Not Israel. I'm talking about like the intolerant countries. Okay.
Well, anyway, I found that very fascinating. Yeah. That Israel was, you know, all the, you know, everything that's been going on, it's still the fourth happiest country. But yet,
that's
when you're here,
amazing, yeah.
Israelis don't seem, they're always yelling and screaming.
But so we're happy.
Yeah, so good for Israel. Sweden.
By the way,
Sweden's
I just
listening.
Want to say, just for the record, I'm extremely happy. Every day I get up and I'm so grateful. You know, Jewish people, we say a prayer called Mode Ani, which means I'm thankful to God for giving me another day of life. And I always say, Hashem, God, thank you for giving me another day of life. I really want it. And
that's right.
And I'm very, very happy. I look out my window or I'll go in my backyard and I'll see the rolling hills of Judea and Samaria. And I'm feel how lucky and how blessed I am to be here in Israel, in my own country, with my family and my children. And they speak Hebrew. It's their mama lashon. It's their, you know, maiden, their mother tongue. but they speak English as well. And we're very, very blessed to be here. So many,
wow.
You know, our ancestors for centuries wanted to be here and they couldn't come. They couldn't be here. And so we're the lucky generation. We're the blessed generation.
That's right. And I live in the rolling hills of Hedera.
Yes. I don't know how hilly it is. I'm not sure how hilly it is, but okay.
No, it's not that hilly, but I'm by the beach, so that's good.
Yeah.
Anyway, so America is not on there. And one of the reasons why America is not on there, because people are miserable, because the crime, Tamar, the crime because of Joe Biden. Yeah. The crime is really bad. And here, this proves it. This article right here, this story I'm going to tell you, this comes out of my home city of Philadelphia. This is how bad it's getting in America. Listen to this. It says, Philadelphia police seek a suspect who stole $100,000 in spine implants from a car.
Ooh, what?
Spine implants. Like, people who are crippled who need spines. There is someone so desperate for money that they stole spines out of a car. It says police said a total of 26 spine implants were stolen from a car parked in a garage. It says Philadelphia police are seeking the public's help in identifying a suspect who they said stole over $100,000 worth of spine implants from a car inside a parking garage in Center City, Philadelphia. And according to a press release, the police around 4:30 a.m. This happened on February 19th. An unknown male was caught in video breaking into a car and stealing spines, medical implants. That's how bad it's getting. And how did the guy know that there was spines in the car?
How's he going to resell it?
I don't know. But you know what? This is such a horrible crime because not only now there's so many people who need a spine who can't walk. They're just a bunch of spineless people now running around Philadelphia.
What's he gonna? He's gonna like have a coat, an overcoat, and then like flap it open to people on the street corner and say, "Wanna buy a spine?"
Yeah. Hey man, you looking for some back? Baby got back. Boom, 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 boom. Baby got back. I have no idea. It says here the police described the suspect as a man that was wearing a surgical mask and all dark clothing, like it was COVID. And there's a picture of here, and he's holding like a trash bag with spines. He's wearing all black with a COVID mask. You can't tell who he is. It was probably a doctor or something. I don't know. Isn't that that's just unbelievable? That's how bad it is in the United States. People are stealing body parts and reselling them.
That is
thanks a lot, Joe Biden.
Yep, that is pretty strange.
Yeah, so now there's a bunch of people who need spines so they can walk or can't walk anyway. I thought that'd be an interesting story. People are lunatics. Hey, do you have a story? Just kidding. I know you don't. I'm trying to find.
I feel like somebody who didn't do their homework right now, except you told me like 2 seconds. Uh-oh, we're having a red alert siren right now in.
Don't bring me down. North. Oh. Here we go. Red alert.
If you're listening, we're talking about Monday at 5:29 p.m. here in Israel. It's in Yiftach. That's the north of the country. We're praying that our brothers and sisters there are safe. Please, Hashem, God, continue to protect the Jewish people and the good people of the world. Okay.
Can I continue with the comedy?
Please continue with the comedy.
I know
nothing like a red alert siren to ruin a show, right?
Yeah, come on, Hamas. Can you take a break for once? I'm trying to do lighten up here.
Okay,
you
know, I just here. English Women's League showdown delayed by teams wearing matching socks.
Oh my God, I saw that.
You saw that?
Yes, and I thought this has got to be the dumbest story. They delayed a soccer game because. Both teams were wearing what? White socks? Why is that? Who cares? And they forced them to go out and get socks. They didn't have – who was the equipment manager who brought – I just don't understand this story. It's like the dumbest story ever. It shouldn't even be news.
I don't know what to say.
Yeah. But anyway, what I was saying is – well, I was going to mention something about Hamas, but now I'm not. Okay. Actually – I can tell you. Here's a good. Well, maybe I'll save this for next week. Hey, so here's another story. Speaking of Philadelphia, do you know who the Philadelphia Fanatic is?
No.
Okay. You know the Philadelphia Phillies, right? The baseball team?
Yes.
Okay. So they have a mascot. It's called the Fanatic. Anyway,
okay.
So the Phillies here, it says the Philadelphia Phillies are scrapping dollar dog nights following unruly fan behavior. So for years and years, because I grew up there, they would have dollar dog nights where you can go to the ballpark with your family and get hot dogs, and they only charge you a dollar. Now, of course, they, you know, hot dogs are normally like $50 a hot dog. It says for more than a quarter of a century, Philly fans consider dollar hot dog night among the best ballpark promotions, but the team has now decided that it was the worst decision. And it says, as of April, they're only going to do this thing twice a year. I think the Phillies officially ended the popular promotion on Thursday and replaced dollar dog nights, on selected dates with not even for a dollar. You have to buy 2-for-1 deal at 2 April games at the stadium. And it says here, a statement from the team said, based on the organization's ongoing commitment to provide a positive experience for all fans in attendance. And there, and so the article asks, well, what wasn't positive about going to a baseball game with your family and eating dollar hot dogs? Well, only in Philadelphia, they were taking the hot dogs and tossing them on the field and hitting people with it. Armed projectile Frankfurters. Fans that were getting angry were throwing hot dogs on the field, chucking at their hot dogs at the other fans or people from the other team. So they had to cancel it. They had to cancel dollar dog night because they were throwing wieners everywhere. It was a big mess.
You know what people have to say about that?
What?
That. Okay. Next story.
Okay. I don't understand, but okay. I don't get that. Next story. All right. Do I have another story? Yes, I do have another story, but I'm going to save it for another time. Here's one. This is actually this is a weird one that we could. This is you'll like this. This is like kind of like. Oh, here. This is a Florida man story. You'll love this. This is always good to end on a Florida man story. It says here, this is it says a Florida man uses a phone that he found in a Walmart bathroom to call in a fake bomb threat. Now, first of all, if you're in a public bathroom and you see someone's cell phone on the floor, would you even touch it?
Ew.
Huh? Who's. So not only did he touch a people bring their phones into the bathrooms. I mean, this is why I don't use other people's phones. I don't touch people's phones. I don't want to – don't say, here, hold my phone. No, I'm not going to hold your phone because I know you go to the bathroom in it. It says here – it says a Walmart customer accidentally left his phone in the bathroom, and the person who found it allegedly used it to call in a fake bomb threat to the store. His name was Cody Clemens, 28. He was arrested and now faces a felony charge of false reporting about planting a bomb or a weapon of mass destruction after the incident that unfolded at a neighborhood Walmart. It says here, deputies responded to the store in reference to a bomb threat. He called 911 just before 3 p.m. The dispatcher said someone said there was a bomb inside Walmart before hanging up the phone. Okay, they said he's sitting on the toilet and he's like, there's a bomb in Walmart. I tell you one thing, babe, there's not a bomb in Walmart, but there is a bomb that went off in that bathroom. Hi-oh! But he said when the dispatcher tried to call back because he hung up on the 911, the suspect picked up the phone and said, tick tock, tick tock, and then hung up the phone again. I don't understand that. So they searched the area, they contacted the owner of the phone, and he says, hey, I accidentally left it in the bathroom at Walmart. Anyway, they arrested the guy. Is that who? Why? Does anyone know why would you call in a bomb threat while you're sitting on the toilet?
Well,
in Walmart?
It doesn't surprise me that it's a Walmart shopper.
Right. You should see this guy's photo. Oh my God. Anyway, so another Florida man story who calls in a bomb threat from the toilet. But just, you know, people, you know, just a little advice, please. If you find a phone, don't pick it up with your hands. Use a tissue or something, or just, you know. That's why don't touch people's phones, you know. All right. That's my advice for lighten up. Anyway. All right. That's good. We can end the show, babe. That's a good story to end on.
Okay.
So we have what, 60 seconds left?
Whatever you want.
Whatever I want. Okay. Well, of course, I would like to thank you, Tamar, for coming in and hosting with me, co-hosting for the 30 seconds before. I know you were unprepared and
aren't I a trooper?
you did an amazing job, and I want to thank you. And I felt
sorry for you, Stephen. If you were like already reaching down to the bottom of the barrel to ask me to join you, I just said, okay, I got to do it.
You've poor joined guy. Me before. You're my boss. I do what you say. Anyway, so I want to thank you for co-hosting with me. Thank you very much. I want to thank all the listeners. And, of course, as usual, I want to send a blessing to all the soldiers in the north and in the south. And, of course, the hostages that are left. Please may Hashem bless Israel, bless all of them, protect them, bring them home and end this war. And may there be peace and real peace. And so we can all just live our lives. So thank you very much, folks. And amen. And Shavuot Tov, everybody. Shavuot Tov.
And Purim Sameach to all of the people who are going to be celebrating.
That's right. Happy Purim.